Tereo Ererangi o Te Mania. This episode was produced in Otatahi by Plains Media, with support from New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora and welcome to Emergence News. My name is Nigel and we'll join John and Peter in the studio in just a minute. You are listening to this program on Plains Media. We broadcast across Canterbury on 96.9 FM and we live stream, and we are also available as a podcast on plains.org.nz. Welcome to the studio, John. Good to have you back in here.
Hello, hello, hello. Peter, how are you?
Yes, I'm good, thanks, John.
I introduced you because he missed me last time.
You've got a long memory. Actually, speaking of last time, we did a program called The End of the Barbarian Age.
Yes, not quite at the end yet.
No, we're not quite at the end. Have you got rid of the meat axe underneath the counter
yeah,
there?
My
and the longbow?
My Viking battle axe.
You got a shield and a helmet?
I still think we're all barbarians. You know, Krishnamurti talks a lot about the violence in your mind is violence. And he's quite correct. We are. Well, I'm a particularly violent person.
Well, you know,
I'd like to take my battle axe to a few people.
I think about animal cruelty. It is still going on.
Oh, yes.
At multiple levels.
Yeah. Well, if we are slaughtering children in Gaza, the animal kingdom doesn't have much of a choice, does it? Doesn't have much of a chance, really.
And this barbarian age, we're hopefully coming to the end of it, Peter?
Yes, well, the end is in sight, but we've got long vision, I suppose, and it might be just a wee bit further away than we think.
You know? I tell you what, Peter, that's a really good point. You know, if you're involved in the Maitreya story, then you do get some long vision. You do get to see some predictions that are unfolding. And I guess you understand it's part of a plan that we're witnessing the breakdown of a civilization, and that's never pleasant. But who knows how long it's going to go on for? I don't think we've approached the tipping point yet for A, the emergence of Maitreya, and B, before the majority of people on this planet realize how badly run it actually is.
Mm.
I think we're way off. What do you think, Nigel? Are we near that tipping point?
I think we're closing in on it. I think some of those predictions that you alluded to just now are materialising. When you said five or 6 years ago, you guys were talking about the breakdown of our civilization. I was thinking, really?
Mm.
What, our political and economic systems are breaking? It's happening before our eyes,
yeah.
And it's in the news every day. And yeah. We see our own government struggling to bring in policy, trying to make things work, and they can't make it work.
They've got no answers.
There's no answers.
And Krem has alluded to that. Benjamin Krem has alluded to that many, many times. And for our listeners, if you are struggling with what's happening today, and it would be no surprise if you are struggling, start reading Benjamin Krem, because a lot of his commentary is political and economic. And he is saying that our politicians do not have the answers. Our politicians do not have the theories and the wherewithal and the means to deal with this new age that's emerging. And they don't.
And it's for me, it's the young politicians, it's the youth that speak some sense of, make some sense. There is some hope in what they're talking about.
Mm.
But the long established politicians that are still with the head in the trough, they should be moving on.
The old grey men.
Yeah, that's right. That is a major problem, isn't it? There's sort of like a barrier to progress.
There was an interesting thing on Facebook, a meme popped up on Facebook, along the lines of Netanyahu, Putin and Trump are hanging on so virulently because if they don't, they're going to go to prison.
Mm.
You know, the only thing that's awaiting those three men is incarceration.
Mm.
Because once they're toppled, they will be gone.
Well, it's interesting this week, five Nordic countries are saying if Netanyahu enters their zone, lands at their airport, he'll be incarcerated.
He'll be arrested. And that we're turning against those established power brokers. I think that's really interesting. And that's what made me think about the tipping point, because we know that, you know, Krem has alluded to, the tipping point will happen really quickly. That the speed of the change, and I think Maitreya has talked about it too, the speed of the change will be phenomenal.
Mm.
And you're starting to see that, all that domino effect almost of those countries.
Speeding up. The future men and women will wonder how, and for so long, we were able to sustain this. That's a quote out of the end of the Barbarian Age. How have we been able to sustain this Barbarian Age for so long? Well, one thing I would argue is that the human physical equipment is incredibly resilient.
I think it's resilient, but when you look back at the bodies that are stacked up in human history, the way we've been living for the last 500 years has cost an awful lot of lives.
Mm.
That's been maintained by power brokers on this planet. The cost has been ecological and a phenomenal loss of life, unnecessary loss of life.
Just changing the subject, let's get on to something positive here. Peter, I hear that you've just completed an interview on Mystic Takeaway.
Yes.
So you've done the recording, it'll get edited, and so it'll be online in the near future.
Yes, I believe so. Yes.
And what you told a couple of interesting stories.
Well, yes, we covered the Maitreya's star, which I regularly see when we get a fine night. And we get a lot of cloud lately, but anyway.
And your trip to Jordan a few years ago.
Yes, that's right. Yes, we had an adventure there in Jordan, getting my daughter out with her child, and we got Maitreya's help, and it all worked very smoothly and incredibly well.
My barber comes from Jordan.
Oh, yeah.
And he was telling me that they get a lot of military equipment and shrapnel landing on their land.
Of course they do.
Because everything's firing overhead.
Over the top, yeah.
And, of course, there is some misfires.
Yeah, and all around them is conflict.
Mm, they're surrounded by conflict.
Mm.
Yes. Yes, so he said to me, he said, that's why I'm here in New Zealand. He got out about 5 or 6 years ago. He brought his family over because he didn't want his children growing up
in that environment.
Yeah. In the Middle East. Mm. And, you know, that's a big call to make, isn't it?
Immigration's a hot topic at the moment, and that immigration fear is being pushed by political parties all over the place. And the answer to immigration is, if we ran this planet properly, no one wants to leave their home, right? You know, your barber's a great example. If Jordan was a lovely place to be, he would stay there.
Yeah. Of course.
Right? People are jumping on awful boats to cross awful stretches of ocean to get to a place they think is better, which in brackets is not better, because where they come from is so awful.
Yeah.
Why is it awful? Because war's the number one business on this planet.
Yeah.
America is taking over resource. America's grabbing countries that it thinks it can get away with. It's using violence and force.
Mm.
The planet, we're damaging the environment.
Yes.
If we looked after ourselves and the planet, people would go home. Wouldn't they?
And we probably wouldn't need visas.
No.
We wouldn't need temporary visas.
No. We wouldn't need all that immigration costs.
Probably wouldn't need passports. In fact, isn't that a prediction of Benjamin Krem's?
Yeah.
That in the future we won't have, there'll be no requirement for passports.
Mm. Yes.
You know, I'd love to go to Jordan and have a look, but I don't want to live there. I'm a Kiwi. Mm. I want to come home, right?
Yes.
So anybody, if Jordan was a nice place to be, they'd come and visit New Zealand, look at our mountains and our rivers and go back to Jordan.
Yes,
right?
They've got an amazing amphitheater there, in the middle of Jordan in the city. And it's just in Amman, you know, it's just amazing.
And
you never hear about that as a destination to go and see a great Roman amphitheater.
No. The Middle East, if it wasn't a war zone, would be a stunning educational, cultural experience.
Well, Iran.
But yeah, Iran. I'd love to go to Iran. Wouldn't dare go to Iran at the moment.
Not currently.
No.
All right, gentlemen.
Right, sorry.
We've covered a little bit of the geography of the world so far.
Yes, we've been all over the place.
We're looking at one of the messages from Maitreya the Christ today. He delivered through Benjamin Krem 140 messages. The word from Maitreya, he's our next world teacher. Author Benjamin Krem says, we need an avatar of the stature of Maitreya to help us get through the end of the barbarian age.
Mm. I think that's really interesting because one of the things that drew me to this message 100 was the use of upper and lower case when you read it.
Mm.
And I looked at that, I think it's the last stanza where Maitreya says, the prophecies of old are being fulfilled, the dark ones tremble. The dark ones are in lower case. Everything else is in higher case. And I thought, he gives them no quarter. And then I thought about Benjamin Krem has said many times that it will take someone of Maitreya's stature to solve the problems in the Middle East.
Right.
And, you know, Nigel and I were talking about this. Nigel, we talked about, I don't think getting around the table at Camp David is going to fix the problems in the Middle East. We talked about, Krem has said that the energy of the Antichrist, which dissipated or dispersed after World War II, was held by Hitler and some of his allies and the Axis powers, has landed in Israel, parts of the United States, groups in the United States and Hungary. And so it makes me wonder that Maitreya, someone of his stature, is going to have to fix the Middle East because the powers of materialism landed very strongly there.
Yeah. The All Things New, that's an article written by Benjamin Krem's master back in 1999. I'll just read you an excerpt from that article. He talks about Maitreya's arrival will be in a manner and guise unusual and unexpected. Maitreya, only he may do as the agent of divine intervention. So he has special dispensation.
I think we talked about this yesterday on Urgel. I think one of the things that Christian religion has tried to convince humanity that you can endlessly turn the other cheek. And we have been endlessly turning the other cheek. And look at the state of the world. Maitreya says in Message 100, I am the sword bearer. And Dwal Kool has said many times that you can only turn the cheek so often that at some point you've got to stand up and say, stop this, stop. You've got to march in the streets. And I'm not advocating violence, but you've got to march in the street. You've got to say no, no more, enough. Krem has talked a lot about boycott. You know, that I think boycott's incredibly powerful. If there's one thing oligarchy need, it's for us to keep buying their stuff.
Mm.
Stop buying their stuff.
Yeah.
If you don't agree with Google, don't use it. If you don't agree with Apple, don't use it. There's tons of other options.
Yeah.
Tons of other options for technology. And we've been brainwashed into thinking brand is important. But if you've got an iPhone, there's five or six other products that will do the same thing. So if you don't agree with Mr. Apple, don't buy the product. Don't drive a Tesla. That's how you...
There's plenty of other electric cars on the market.
And I think the Chinese are doing that product particularly well. Just remove your dollars from these guys' pockets. That's what they can't stand. Just boycott them.
Okay, we'll have more from Message 100 from Maitreya the Christ in just a moment. You are listening to Emergence News. Welcome back. And we are focused on this program on Message 100 from Maitreya the Christ, brought through by Benjamin Krem. How was it brought through, John?
Overshadowing, wasn't it, Peter?
Mental overshadowing.
Which is an interesting process because it is done with the complete approval support of the vehicle being used, in this case Benjamin Krem, and Maitreya overshadowed him. And if you hear the recordings, Benjamin Krem's voice changes.
And these recordings are quite something. They're timeless. And Peter, would you read the opening stanza from Message 100?
Nigel. Yes, sure. My dear friends, I am happy to be with you all at this centenary, as you might call it. My friends, I am near you indeed. I see around you aspiration and love, your hope and desire for a better world. Believe me, my friends, all these will be fulfilled. That new world is now in the making, is formed in thought and desire, and slowly descends. Therefore, my brothers, know no fear.
It's slowly descending. The good news is arriving, John. The cavalry is coming.
Yep.
Sometimes it's obvious to the trained eye, but for a lot, it isn't obvious.
And that's one of the things that strikes me about this stanza is he speaks of aspiration, love, hope, and desire for a better world. And I think there are many today who want change, but they don't know what to. What is change going to look like? What is change going to be? And I think the masses of materialism, the forces of evil, have so clouded social media with the current form of life on planet Earth that it's very hard to imagine something else. So for me, there's a gap in the information available that offers a rational alternative to what we already have. Although I think that voice is rising. In the USA, where this war is being fought most openly, this conflict between we and me, we have AOC, we have Mayor of New York, Mandami, we have Bernie Sanders, we have Graham Platner, all who are voices for change and are offering alternatives. And in the UK, we have Jeremy Corbyn and the leader of the Greens, Zach Polansky. There are a number of people. The British economist who was a former trader, quite a young guy, toured New Zealand. He is saying from an economical point of view, economist point of view, the shape of Britain is not working. So there's a number of voices that are saying what we're doing is not working. Here is an alternative.
It's being recognised.
It's being recognised. But you've got to look for it, Nigel. It's not going to arrive in your normal standard media because oligarchy bought media a long time ago. So the only message you're getting from mainstream media is the status quo. If you want a new message, you've got to start looking at alternative voices. So you need to hear those voices. You need to hear voices. Platner in the States is great. He's working man. He's a working man and he's saying, hold on, we need to redistribute the wealth of this country. There's tons of wealth to go around.
And another one is universal healthcare. You think of Mexico.
Yes.
You know, I would never have picked that one.
No. But look,
it's terrific, isn't it?
The leadership of Mexico is an educated person, educated woman. And she's saying we can do this.
And the Canadians are talking about a universal healthcare package as well.
Yeah.
So it's happening. And, of course, that's not new to some of the Nordic countries either.
No, not at all. In fact,
Norway's a great example.
Excellent. So is Finland. We hear very little about Finland because I think it's been stained in mainstream media by its history of communism. But Finland is practicing really good, healthy, social, we-based programs. So Finland and Norway are two countries that are doing a lot of stuff really well. I watched a thing on Facebook where an American was criticizing the Nordic countries because of the tax they pay. And somebody came back and said, yeah, but we've got free healthcare, free education, free housing, free, you know.
And our children grow into young adults and they have no problem getting employed.
And it's the happiest country in the world.
Yeah.
What have you got, America? Oh, you've got a gun culture. You can't send your kids to school without bulletproof backpacks. Ah, yes, you're doing so well. So, yeah, there is. I can see America getting really isolated around their beliefs around what a country should look like. And I think the next thing for Trump is he's going to have to shut America down because Americans will go overseas see how the rest of the world lives, and then go back to America and go, why aren't we doing that? And the only reason you stop that influx of education and changing thought is to close your borders, right? We've seen it in China's history, in Russia's history, North Korea. They have to close their borders to stop that inflow of new ideas.
Stop the education.
Stop the education.
Peter.
Yes.
Stanza number two.
I'm among you in many ways. I present myself to the world in many facets. I galvanize all forms to change. I stimulate all souls to growth. I am with you and in you. I am the heart of your life. I seek to place before you the laws which are God. I aim to evoke from you the love of your heart.
This is a great stanza. I looked at, I seek to place before you the laws which are God. And I looked at the book, The Art of Living, Living Within the Laws of Life, Benjamin Creme's book. God is not above the law. The thing we call God is the law, is law. The nature, the law of nature, the law of life, the law of humanity. Not laws in the legal sense, but the movement of the human soul through the rainbow of energy that makes up the energetic and physical envelope of this planet. The pathway through those mysteries are the laws of life, right? How you get on this planet depends on you understanding how the planet works. They are the laws of life. God is not above those laws. I kind of went, imagine you are newly arrived to this planet. One of the questions you may ask yourself is, how do I get on here? What is the way to live? What is the way forward? Well, the laws of life may be different on another planet, although, and I suspect karma and reincarnation exist on every planet, particularly karma. But a planet with a different race structure will require different laws of life to flourish there, right?
I guess so.
That's what I was thinking. We are a certain planet of a certain race structure.
Mm.
The laws of life here pertain to that planetary race structure. Yeah? And overarching is the law of karma and the law of reincarnation. But there are laws of life on this planet that once you understand them, help you get on. And we said in a recent program, we don't know anything about this planet. We don't know how to live here. We don't know how it works. We don't know how it moves. We don't know what we're doing here. So our ignorance is the lever that the forces of materialism use
have latched onto
to keep us enthralled.
Yeah.
And they keep us ignorant.
In that second stanza, John, I galvanize. Maitreya says, I galvanize all forms of change.
Yeah.
So when you hear people talking about justice, looking after the planet,
yes,
thinking about your brother as well as yourself,
yep,
all forms of change, and that is coming through in the voice of the youth, isn't it?
Yep.
That's been galvanized.
That's been galvanized. Now, I've got the glossary of esoteric terms here. I got up very early this morning, as you can probably appreciate. And I love that definition of spiritual, right? This is really important for us all to understand. Benjamin Creme, the Glossary of Esoteric Terms, off the Share International website, spiritual, the quality of any activity which drives the human being forward towards some form of development, physical, emotional, intuitional, social, in advance of his or her present state. Right, so as you approach the first initiation, you will feel a desire to clean up the physical body. You may change your diet. You may exercise more. You'll join a gym. You might start a walking group, running, whatever. So that is spiritual. Going to the gym to clean up your life, to clean up your physical body, is spiritual. So I think that's really important that when Maitreya says, I will galvanize all forms to change, he means you. And if you've decided to lose weight or if you decided to exercise more,
you'll be supported.
You'll be supported, but you're responding to the energy of Maitreya and you are responding to the spiritual life.